So family's doing better? Everybody's doing better?
Yeah, I mean, health-wise, COVID went through, and then two of my wife's kids are now sick again. It's like, dudes.
Can't win. Can't win for losing.
The audacity of this pitch. The audacity of this pitch has been brought to you by Diversify IT.
We're good.
Yeah. So how do you want to start off today? Well, first of all, yeah, we can talk about the challenge and what happened in regard to how we addressed the challenge.
So I don't know if it was the end of the last episode or if it was in the time afterwards.
It was the tail end, like right before I was actually reviewing the last episode to make sure I was adhering to the parameters of the challenge.
And I got to be truthful. I don't remember exactly what the topic was. I don't know if it was sexuality.
Yeah.
And since I know a little bit more about country music and you know a bit more about rap, I challenged you to find an artist who challenged country music's traditional approach to sexuality.
Yes.
And you did the same to me with rap.
Mm-hmm.
One thing led to another. We weren't able to chat. COVID and other things intervened. We just talked yesterday in prep for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, who you got? I'm like, I got Lil Nas X. And you're like,
damn
who
it.
Did you have?
And I had Lil Nas X too.
Lil Nas, I'm sorry. And of course, you know, I wasn't thinking because I had to talk to my kids and everyone else. I'm like, come on, help me out with a rap star that isn't misogynist. And Lil Nas X kept coming up. And I know, you know, culture wise, he's very popular. I know Old Town Road because I didn't think. I mean, it truly is a country song.
Yeah, it was a complete bait and switch. That was the crazy thing about Lil Nas X. It was a complete bait and switch. Like when he came out, and I heard Old Town Road, and there were like little kids singing it, and there were like TikTok dance offs and all this other stuff that accompanied it. I was like, this is some cheesy garbage. Like, this is dumb. And then, like after he got real popular on the country music scene, he came out the closet.
Yep.
And there are some people who say like he was never like in the closet, but he wasn't public about it until after Old Town Road dropped, and then there was like a complete about face in the country scene where he was being played all over the place, and all of a sudden it was like, don't worry,
drop it off.
We made a mistake. Go back. He's gay. Stop. Yeah.
Which is not, like I said, I can't remember if we talked about this on air or not, but one of my favorite heavy metal bands is King's X.
Mm-hmm.
They had some Christian themes throughout their music, and they were played on some Christian rock stations or Christian stations. Their lead singer came out, same thing. Dropped like a rock. Hopefully we'll talk about it in a future episode, but he went ahead and had his... had his say and did some fairly anti, you know, establishment Christianity songs later. It's like, you know, you want to drop me? I'll tell you what it's all about. but yeah, I did a little bit of research and it's cool because I think Lil Nas X brings up a lot of the issues that we talked about. Like hugely popular, you know, Old Town Road was on number one on the charts for 19 weeks, which was the longest running number one song as far back as I think it was Billboard's charts ran.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, came out as a country song and then got dropped from country radio. And you have big name critics like Robert Christgau, you know, calling out country music. He didn't say it for being gay, but for being racist. And said a little bit more down. So you were nice and let me hold on to Lil Nas X as my artist for this week. And what I chose to do is not so much focus on his career to date, and you have, you know, his release of the song Montero, you know, Call Me By Your Name, which I think was quite over the top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And if you think Call Me By Your Name, the song was over the top. And the thing is, like, the song was him, from my understanding of the interviews that he gave around it. The song was about him coming to terms with his sexuality. Like, he wasn't talking to another guy. He was actually talking to his younger self and basically saying, like, you know, it's okay to be who you are, you know, acknowledge, you know, yourself, respect yourself. And that's what that whole thing was about. But then the music video came out and he's basically like making out with himself and going to hell and all this stuff or whatever. But that's his shtick. It's like, you know, I'm going to be in your face about these things. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. And you're going to talk about me whether you want to or not. Because if you don't talk about me, somebody else is going to be talking about me.
Right.
And you're going to have to, you know, weigh in somewhere or somehow.
And it's one of my favorite things. I mean, because you take those stereotypes and you push them to the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And Lil Nas X, as much as anyone, and then he, you know, follows up that song with "Sun Goes Down," which I think was a little bit more low key and a little bit more about being bullied and coming to terms with his homosexuality and coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So what I chose to do though is focus on his recording of the song "Jolene," which was originally recorded by Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene.
This is what happens when you record with an old dude. I get these brain lapses where I'm like,
no, but you're able to span the time.
So Dolly Parton is classic for, you know, her, you know, blonde, busty, and, you know, very country, over the top sexuality in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But then over the course of her career, she was able to establish herself as one of the strongest, you know, females in country music, and has gone on to become, you know, a famous actress, you know, the power behind everything that's going down in amusement parks, you know, where she grew up, and everything is over the top. And I love when you have artists that are willing to take those stereotypes and twist them to their own needs, where makes people a little uncomfortable. I think Lil Nas X took it that much further.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare. Your flaming locks of auburn hair, and ivory skin, and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring. Your voice is like soft summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
And when I was going back and looking at some of the stuff that Dolly Parton did, especially with Jolene, she talked about how when she recorded it, she thought that there was this woman who was hitting on her husband. And trying to steal him, and, you know, 46 years later, they're still married. And one of my favorite quotes was, "Where's Jolene now?" But then, how Dolly Parton has been embraced by the LGBTQ community as well, I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about the embracing of the song "Jolene" by drag queens, and in fact, these are her words. I'm not trying to. She said so much so that she often wants to be drag queen, drag queen, drag queen versus Jolene, Jolene, Jolene. Don't steal my man away from me. So I saw that quote in one of the articles about Dolly. So won't go too much further with Lil Nas X. I feel like you were generous enough to let me to steal him for this week.
No, this whole podcast has been about learning experiences and, like, you know, being exposing each other to things that we know individually, but then also it's been a class for me, like, and that's what I think is the cool thing is you show me things or put me in directions that are lead me in directions where I'm learning more things. And I hope that's what our viewership gets from this as well. Like, you know, I mean, that's what this whole series was supposed to be about, learning about each other in Diversify IT, through Diversify IT, learning about each other and, you know, what makes us who we are through the lens of music, right? And so, that's why I had no problem giving it up, because I was like, he's in for a treat. Like, he's about to find some cool shit out about, like, Lil Nas X or whatever. If I had done it, it had been just like, you know, preaching. I can preach to the choir and be like, yeah, I know this about him. I know this about him or whatever. But it's cooler. It's almost like introducing a friend to a cool book or a movie or something like that.
Well, and I feel I cheated a little bit, because even though the challenge was to find a rap artist who dealt with those stereotypes, mm-hmm. I did focus on country music. But I do want to focus on how the stereotypes and how people will play with them, and the intellectualness that goes with it. And we talked about one of the songs you did on a previous one, Pussy Riot,
mm-hmm.
and the sound of the song sounding so sweet, mm-hmm. and innocent,
mm-hmm.
Which sort of doesn't quite prepare you for
what the substance
the substance mm-hmm. is there. So whether it be, you know, taking those stereotypes and pushing them to an extreme, or turning them on their head, sort of like Pussy Riot did with this very sweet-sounding song.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I find intellectually challenging in music, and I'm constantly seeking it out. So that's, and again, we say this all the time. I'm not an expert on this stuff. I've listened to a ton of music. Couldn't play a note if, you know, my mm-hmm. life depended on mm-hmm. it. So, you know, if someone's looking for me to give you, you know, a better interpretation than that, it's just more the importance of music to me. And what I do like is, you know, you and I can have these conversations back and forth. I'm guessing when we go back to our offices or home, we're not listening to similar playlists all the time, mm-hmm. but I might now plug in a little bit more Lil Nas mm-hmm. X and some other artists that you've talked about, and you may do a little bit of the same. So,
yeah,
the unifying nature of music is really what we're trying to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, and that's and you hit the nail right on the head. Like, neither one of us is a music, you know, professional. We are consumers, mm-hmm. Who enjoy the narratives behind the music that we listen to. And that facilitates deeper discussions and connections with other people, based off of, you know, that mutual appreciation of human experiences, right? I never, ever, you know, anticipated for this show to be, you know, something that was going to be this de facto, you know, analysis forum of, you know, what notes were used here, and, you know, do you know the history of, you know, Baroque versus, you know, whatever. But, it was always about, like, just two normal people having a discussion about something that is dear to us, the soundtracks to our lives.
Yep.
And as we bring other people in, it creates an access point for them as well. Like, you don't have to be, you know, super duper, you know, musically inclined to participate in this conversation. That being said, you actually helped me out sending me lists of country artists that did bend the sexuality, you know, barrier. And I went through you sent me a link. You sent me two links.
Yep.
And I went through all the artists on the links, and then one artist stood out to me because I had heard her before, and I heard her song before, and that was a few years back. And apparently, since I found out about her, I don't like to say discovered, because, like, you know, it feels yep. pretentious. but since I found out about her music, she's blown up significantly. since then. There was a song called Breathe Again. Well, the song that she has out right now is with Chris Stapleton, and there's a really cool music video for it. The song is called Sweet Symphony. And that song isn't that provocative. It's a lot more mainstream in regard to, like, you know, it's like a traditional love ballad. And if you didn't know the relationship between or the sexuality of this artist, Joy Oladokun, I think that's her name. Well, the thing is, she's got a Nigerian background, so I could be butchering her name. Apologize if I am. I don't think I am, but I'll just call her Joy. So if you just hear this song by Joy and Chris, you know, and not knowing the sexual orientation of either one of them, then, you know, you would think that this is a, you know, a ballad to, you know, each other.
I get weak whenever you're around. I let my walls down and lay my weapons on the floor. Fight. Every day I used to fight and dream of real love at night. Well, it's reality now. Loving you's a sweet, sweet symphony that all of heaven and earth join to sing. And my heart trembles at the sound.
But Joy is openly gay, and the very first song I heard years ago was Breathe Again. And I just want to read some of the lyrics, or at least one of the passages from the song. The devil's in the basement in my home. A flight of stairs is way too close. He comes for me when I'm alone, collecting debts that I don't owe. Follow me down where the waters run deep. I'll let you drown in the worst of me. If my intentions are good, why can't I come clean? If heaven's above, where does that leave me?
The devil's in the basement in my home. A flight of stairs is way too close. He comes for me when I'm alone, collecting debts that I don't owe. Follow me down where the waters run deep. I'll let you drown in the worst of me. If my intentions are good, why can't I come clean? If heaven's above, where does that leave me? Am I looking for revival?
So she blew up on TikTok, you know, singing these songs. And I believe Breathe Again was one of them. I can't remember exactly how I heard this song originally, but I didn't take her as a country artist. Like, she was born and raised in Arizona, like I said, to Nigerian immigrants. And she grew up in this extremely conservative environment, as Arizona is. And then she was raised in the church, and then as she was coming up in the church, she recognized that she didn't have, you know, some of the feelings of, you know, her female identifying peers around her. And then on top of that, as she started to express herself musically, she saw that her conservative upbringing was conflicting with her desires. So she ended up leaving and moving to California, which is where she got her musical start. But it was that narrative in regard to, like, how she recognized her talent and how her talent was rejected because of the content of what she wanted to sing about. And that's what went into Breathe Again, that was basically a ballad about her sexuality and the lack of acceptance that she received whenever she came out. And it made me feel good after you sent me the list. It made me feel good to see that she had succeeded in spite of. But then going back to Lil Nas X, you know, it's this, and then also the other example in regard to the rock band you just yep. mentioned. It's like as soon as, you know, these individuals come out in this medium, which is supposed to be about, you know, God and acceptance and love of, you know, love of everything that God has given and whatnot, suddenly it's, you know, we can't accept you anymore, you know, because you're speaking about who you are. And I saw that was a running theme for most of the country artists that you sent to me in that list. You listen to these songs where these people are talking about their relationship with the creator, and they actually, the songs themselves actually resonate with an audience, and then suddenly sexuality comes out, and then boom, like the lyrics didn't change, you know, the subject matter didn't change. It's literally just the person singing the song.
Yep.
That has changed in the minds of those who are listening to it, and now you're not viable as a country artist anymore. And it goes back to like what we were talking about in regard to the Dixie Chicks too. Like, you know, it was fine when the Dixie Chicks were singing about, like, you know, having a great time, but the moment these women talk about killing a man, boom, there's a problem. We have an issue here. Danger, Will Robinson. Like, I don't. It's baffling to me that this happens.
Yeah. So I'm going to improvise here a little bit. So I'm going to tell you a super quick story.
Gotcha.
About.
I'm listening.
So I'm in grad school. Did I hope I didn't tell the story already? I'm in grad school. I went to an all-boys Catholic school, went to college. Somehow along the way, I had gone and not known specifically a gay person. Like, I'm sure I knew many gay people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in my first year of graduate school, so, you know, 20s. Walking across campus with a guy that entered the program the same time I did. We're chatting about baseball. You know, had all these things in common. I was going home to New Jersey to see my now ex-wife's family. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, bud, you know, anything you want me to bring back from Jersey? He was from there, too. He goes, nope, not unless you can bring the casinos back. He said, you know, Brian, my lover, almost exact words, is a huge gambler. And I'm like walking along, and all of a sudden I remember my head is like,
boom,
wait a second. What did you say? And I was, and then I'm walking and he's still talking, and it was almost like straight out of a movie. Like my head was spinning and I'm processing everything. And then I'm, you know, right outside the classroom where we're going to, I'm like, wait a second, it doesn't change a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
We still love baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had all these things in common, and it's such a stupid thing to say now, but that's exactly how I processed it. Like I just, you know, I went to an all-boys school, 1,200, you know, boys or men. Some high percent, you know, some percentage were certainly gay. I just never even dealt with it or said it. So it's that same thing. Like, literally nothing has changed. So why, you know, so here's where I'm also improvising. So the band was King's X. The lead singer is Doug Pinnick.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite songs that he does is a song called Pray.
Mm-hmm.
And it, if you... The reason I like it is you could listen to it as a stout Christian and think it's all about having God pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the great things is, here's reading a couple lines. You know, every day I look at God all around me, so near yet so far. If you think you're better off than me, then don't forget to pray for me. Hear me now. Yeah. mean, that's the thing he keeps saying. It's all about the hypocrisy of, you know, you believe in God and yet you think you're better than me. Look how you're treating me. And he has songs that are far more explicit in that way. But it is funny because, again, they were playing these Christian stations were playing their songs. I assume they were popular. He comes out and it's like, I'm not playing anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I do like is that his two co-artists in the band strongly supported him. I mean, because that's, you know, potentially, mm-hmm. you know, disrupting a revenue stream mm-hmm. for them. And they backed him and they've, you know, I wouldn't say they've been big, but they're still together and
yeah.
putting out some good music.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like real bravery, right? Like people, I mean, I was thinking about that too, whenever we were both talking about Lil Nas X and basically, you know, where things, you know, have been going socially and politically in the country, the amount of bravery that it takes to stand in that truth becomes that much more pronounced the more divisive things get, you know, in the country. You know, whenever he first came out with Old Town Road, everybody, and then whenever he first dropped Old Town Road, and then he came out after the fact, it was, oh, this is a gimmick. He's not really gay. He's just doing this because this is the thing du jour. Like, this is what it takes. He's just being extra to draw attention to himself. But as time has passed, you recognize, like, you know, how dangerous that can be because of how people are targeted increasingly because of their gender identification, their sexual orientation and whatnot. And so it would be easy. It's easier to stay hidden. It's easier to say, this is not who I am, you know. But if you're going to be in this space and be visible and actually be a representative, because that's one thing that Joy was talking about whenever she started her career. She was upset because she didn't see love depicted the way that she felt.
Right?
And Lil Nas X has said something to that effect too. So it's not so much it being a gimmick as it is, hey, I am laying a foundation, I'm laying a path that others can hopefully follow. And recognize that who we are is normal. Like, we can see, we've seen cowboys and cowgirls romancing each other in music videos, you know, since time eternal. But there are other types of love that deserve representation as well. And that normalization prevents situations like what you went through, where, I mean, like, you know, if I hear a guy talking about his wife, I don't do a double take.
Right.
But yeah, just like you, I grew up in, you know, the conservative Midwest. And while, you know, under the table, you know, my parents were teaching me, you know, love is love and, you know, use logic and reason. At the same time, I'm growing up in this conservative church that isn't endorsing these things. Yeah. And so it's not so much that I was taught to hate anybody. I just wasn't taught other dynamics existed.
Right.
And that ties into, you know, like something I just saw recently, like in Utah, we just had Halloween last night. And there was this video circulating of these kids who were in, it looked like a Walmart or whatever, and they're in blackface and in striped prison suits as their costumes. And there was one of their peers who actually confronted them in Walmart and was like talking to them about, like, you know, why are you dressed that way and this, that, and the third. But what I saw was somebody making a commentary on that video, basically saying, this is what I see all the time, you know, growing up in Utah. And the black girl who was making the commentary, like, I could hear her voice echoing in my head in regard to my experiences, you know, growing up in Kansas.
Right.
if you aren't exposed, if you don't see it, then yo, you think it's a, you know, it's funny, you know, funny, haha, it's a joke or whatever. You know, your peers aren't calling you out on it. Your parents let you walk out the house like that, of course, or whatever. And then whenever you get into a, like, you graduate, you go, you leave Utah and you decide, I'm going to New York, I'm going to Atlanta or whatever. And you go down there and you have that same mentality. Suddenly you're smacked in the face of the reality that your programming was messed up. Right. And then you make a choice, right? So in that moment right there, whenever you were in college, you could have said, like, oh, hell no, you're gay. I didn't know you were gay. We can't be walking together or whatever. Like, this is what I've been told about gay people. Right. But you are able to make that logical connection and say, your sexuality has nothing to do with me. You're like, what makes us connect isn't based off of anything sexual at all. It's our mutual appreciation, like music, of these things that creates this bond. So I'm not changing that. But there's some people who say, well, if I continue being your friend, you know, then whenever I go home to my friends and my family who have nurtured me and raised me and whatnot, they're going to outright reject me. Yeah. And that's all I know. And so you're asking me right now to either be friends with you or disown my family. And so you end up disowning your friendship to give some deference to the familiar. And this is where I say, like, you know, this kind of bigotry creates victims of us all. Like, it's not about white supremacy. It's not about Christian supremacy. It's not about, you know, male supremacy or whatever. It's this mentality that is nurtured in youth. And then you go out into the real world and you are rejected for those beliefs that have been ingrained in you. And then you have to make a choice in that place. And God willing, you are, you know, resolute enough in yourself, confident enough in yourself to say, no, this is what I believe. This is stupid. Yeah. Or, you know, you've been led to believe that, you know, you need to favor family over the tribalism kicks in. And then that's where I feel like true bigotry becomes ingrained. It's that knee-jerk reaction, that need to say, this is what I have to believe because this is connected to my identity.
Right. Well, and it's, I think I've shared now, you know, my first introduction to someone who I knew explicitly was gay, talked about when I was watching television and a young black man have been shot by police, and how all this stuff processed in my head. And that took a lot of work. I mean, because I'm sitting there, and again, I'm not complimenting myself. You know, God knows I was sheltered for most of my life. But it takes work to break outside of the only way you've ever been raised. And I'm not condoning that at all, but knowing that it does take commitment and work and having the opportunity to move. Like, I grew up in a very homogenous area. I think there were 3 African-American kids in that, in my class of 300. I mean, that's so I never put myself in their place, which is a shame on me. I think I talked about one of my buddies was one of those African-American kids, constantly waiting for him on the playground or whatever it was, because he's getting in fights. I'm like, why are you always starting fights, man? And I'm like,
I'm fighting for my life, man.
And he's like, I'm not starting the fight, you idiot. And I was, it didn't make any sense to me. So, you know, some of that's naivete and all that. But yeah, I mean, it's very frustrating to see where we are politically. I mean, everything different is bad. To feel these norms that are constantly, you know, the pressure of these norms that aren't yours. I mean, I can't imagine, and I've talked about it before. I want to do this, and it's a very small contribution, but I know that I have the luxury of hiding. I mean, I'm a white male and all that stuff, and I know I haven't done enough in my life to make a difference, so, and I'm not saying this will, but it's just, if we can, you know, have one person stop and think a little bit, then maybe that's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not maybe. It's definitely good. I mean, the thing is, we all have positions of privilege given. We can have a society that leans toward, like you're talking about, like, you know, white male privilege. And yeah, that gives you, you know, the ability to go under the radar in a lot of instances. So, but it makes it that much more brave whenever you're able to say, you know what, I recognize I could, you know, stay behind the scenes in my privilege, but instead I'm going to step out and say there is another path that we can travel. So there's bravery in that. So don't diminish that, you know, whatsoever. But then it's also about having these discussions and provoking others to think outside their box. Because like you said, it's like when you grow up in these environments that are primarily homogenous, that naivete, you know, is allowed to gestate and breed and grow. And then whenever those individuals emerge from those environments, go in and go into foreign pastures, they get smacked in the face of the reality. And I think that's what we're dealing with here as a country, is that mass blowback. You know, we've been able to be compartmentalized because there was enough to go around. You know, there was always going to be more oil. There was always going to be more land. There was always going to be more food or whatever. But then as you start dealing with scarcity, whether it's real or imposed, then people start getting more tribal.
Yep.
Right. And so laziness, intellectual laziness, you know, social laziness, emotional laziness is catered toward, because it's easier for me to say, well, you know, as long as I stick around, stick with the people who, you know, marry like I do, who have the same skin complexion as I do, who are from the same town as I do, I'm going to be okay. Which is dumb in and of itself, because, you know, we have a saying, all skin folk ain't kin folk. But that laziness, you know, is, I feel like, you know, that's our primal nature. I was reading an article about it, that basically empathy is us evolving beyond our primal nature and saying there are other values that are not apparent to the naked eye. But finding those values, finding those characteristics in other individuals requires labor.
Yeah.
And so I got to take time to come in here and sit down and get to know Chris and talk to Chris through all these podcasts to understand, okay, Chris is a cool guy. Chris is on my team. I got him now. I understand that. And he understands that I got his back too. But people don't want to take that time, because the other commodity that, you know, is at a deficit is just that time.
Yep.
You know, whether it's just how we consume things, or because we recognize that the hourglass is running out and we got to figure out who's on our team, whatever. I don't know what that is, but time is of the essence. And for me, I'd much rather use that time trying to figure out who is really down for me, who is really supportive of me, than, you know, just basically giving into that lazy mentality of saying, well, I'm going to hang out with the guys because right. All the guys got me, and yep. They really don't.
Nope. I'm with you. I mean, it's very, you know, I'm looking forward to not necessarily the outcome of the elections in a week, but the stupid commercials being done. Because that's the other part, is, you know, as much as any year I've ever seen these scare tactics,
mm-hmm.
you
know. It's bad now.
Yeah, I mean, with Sherry Beasley and others, I don't want to get into specifics, but mm-hmm. it's like I'm sitting with my kids. I'm like, stop. Listen to this mm-hmm. and go research it, because mm-hmm. these aren't, you know, these are critical partial thinking. Facts or, mm-hmm. you know, just the way that, you know, anytime someone's trying to scare me with a political ad, even if it's someone I support, mm-hmm. it immediately turns me off, because you know that there's an aspect of lying and laziness. It's that intellectual laziness. Mm-hmm.
The nuance.
They're playing to intellectual laziness, and it drives me crazy and can't wait till it's over. But, you know, on the other side of this election, who knows where we're going to be, mm-hmm. Depending on the results. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary to me too, because, you know, I was making the comment about this last night. Regardless of like what side it goes, you know, which way it goes in regard to results, we are going to have the most fractured landscape.
Yep.
I mean, we already have people, you know, claiming an actual election denialism, yep. and, you know, we had our first, we had our
Welcome
first
to my club.
political assassination attempt and everything. And so it's like, okay, all right, so this is where we are now. And, you know, how do you come back from that? How do you get back to a place of quote-unquote normalcy? Or are we on this roller coaster and, you know, there's inevitable conflict that's going to exist from here on out? And I feel, you know, just like you said, like, you know, people have to learn how to critically engage with one another and find those mutual points of connection and then branch out from there. Because, you know, oftentimes the people who are putting those scare tactics into our heads, they don't give a shit about me. They don't give a shit about you. Like, it's more about, like, what do I need to say to make sure I get this office again next year, because this is all I'm invested in. Like, we have, since we've made being a politician a career, naturally people are going to think about their long-term career objectives. Where before, like, you know, whenever the country was conceived, if you will,
volunteers.
It was about, like, people volunteering. You know, yes, I'm going to be a scientist, Ben Franklin, but I want to go and help you write, you know, this article of Confederation or whatever, just to make sure, you know, I'm invested as a citizen in my country. And we don't have that anymore. It's more so, you know, people trying to claim the country for themselves. And it would, and I could see if people had that mentality and they were actually active. But now it's more so about, you know, just the finger pointing and the attacking and not really talking about actual solutions, where before we had individuals who were concerned about finding solutions. We can talk about how the country was conceived and the bloodshed and the original sin of slavery and this, that, and the third or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, you have people who are like, let's work toward this common objective of building a nation.
Right. Be nice if we could get back to that.
Yeah, it would be great if we could. But hopefully, one song at a time, exactly. Chris, we're going to solve this problem.
Exactly.
We're going to fix America. One song at a time.
One song at a time. We did a couple, so we made some serious progress on this episode.
I think we did. And then, yeah, like, I don't think this is the last one. I know it's not going to be the last one, regardless of what happens next. But hopefully, yeah, we can make some contacts with some artists to come and chop it up with us, and we're gonna keep on moving.
And I keep coming up with different ideas on my own, and it'd be great if we can get this out there and have some other folks give us ideas that we can pursue, because I love finding new music and new ideas and opening myself up to that. So
gotcha. Me too.
Awesome.
Me too, brother. Me too.
The audacity of this pitch.
The conversation does not have to stop here. Join us on diversifyit.duke.edu and join our listserv.